you know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism, smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him just one more time to see. All I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are, Veterans Day 2014. Welcome, 11th of November. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's it's Tuesday, not Thursday. I'm getting ahead of myself a couple of days there. Anyway, happy Veterans Day to all of you veterans out there. Lest some of you confuse Veterans Day with Memorial Day, on Veterans Day, we honor all veterans, everyone that served in our military. And on Memorial Day, we commemorate those, we honor those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice and given everything for their country and for our freedom. So, and to both of them, I want to say thank you very much for everything that you have, everything that you've sacrificed, everything that you've done, the blood, sweat, and tears that you've gone through, whether you were during wartime or not, doesn't matter to me. And the other thing, when people think of the military, automatically they think of combat troops and machine guns and PTSD and IEDs and all this kind of stuff. But don't forget the people that made all that possible for them, the cooks and the payroll people, the clerks, the truck drivers, the people that play in the band. I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of other people that make this possible. So don't forget them when you're thinking about the veterans that have served. Hey, thank you, Rights at Rest, to Tinker, you guys, you betcha. It was certainly my pleasure. And thank you to all of you that have served, and for those that have helped those that have served, their families and friends and all those that help people get through those hard times. So you remember last night we talked about the got a couple of big problems coming up. One of them is up in Washington. The 13th of December, there'll be a as it stands right now, there's something to the tune, almost 6,000 people that have committed to be there. This will be in Olympia at the Capitol building on the 13th of December. I am going to make every effort to try to make it up there and assist with this. I've been asked to speak, but this is not a big... Well, it's not put on by a bunch of people. It's got a lot of money. So, they've asked me to speak, but there I'm going to have to try to give them a hand getting up there. So, we'll see how all that turns out. But I am certainly going to try. Now, this rally that we're having, for those of you that are not up to speed here, Initiative 594 passed in Washington. Initiative 591 did not pass. 591 would have taken most of the teeth out of 594, but it did not pass. 594 prohibits all private transfers, all transfers, period, without a background check and going through a dealer. So it's not just sales. People can't say, well, you got to do that at gun shows anyway. Well, it's not just gun shows. It'll be in your home. It will be, if you want to pass your raggedy old 1911 down to your son, which if I was the son, I'd just say no thanks, but I'm just kidding.
But the you can't do that without going through a dealer. And somebody asked me today, actually my middle oldest daughter asked how that would be possible. How do you keep up with that? Well, it'll still be easy to slip a lot of them through the cracks. Problem is, from what I understand of this, it's going to be a felony if it doesn't slip through the cracks. So there's a couple of scenarios here for you. In federal law there's no prohibition at all as far as federal law goes. There are a few states that don't allow private sales, not many. But this is going to be in your home, on the street, within your family, in your own state, in your own town. So how would they ever keep up with it? Well, there's lots of guns out there that were purchased prior to 1968. A lot of them don't have any record on them at all. And after 1994, well, it doesn't matter, 68, they started keeping track of these things. But the guns that were purchased prior to that, providing they have never been put in the system somehow or another, now they would have been put in the system if, for instance, you had a pre-64 Winchester and you sold it on GunBroker to a guy in another state, and when it got there, it had to go through a dealer to be legal. You send it to a dealer, the guy had to come down and fill out a 4473 on it, and at that point, then it is in the system then. So there's, Doc, I know most pre-68 firearms don't have a serial number. From 68 on, it is a requirement. All of them have to have them after 68. So if you purchased that before before 1968, let's say you purchased it from an individual. There is no record anywhere on this gun. But if you sell it to someone in another state, it has to be shipped to a dealer to be legal. And when that happens, then it's going to be in the system. So, okay, this happened 30 years ago. And now, 25 years ago, whatever, doesn't matter. And now you say, okay, Junior's up to 16 years old. I want to pass this pre-64 308 down to him. I'm going to give it to him for Christmas of 2014. So you do, all is well. Nobody knows the difference until Junior decides to sell, hawk, pawn, or it gets stolen from him. And when that happens, and they realize, they try to track this thing down, and they realize that there is no link between him and you, you have both committed felonies, from the way I understand that this is the way this is written. So if you take, and that's just a kind of an extreme example, but if you took any gun, and yes, you could very easily go next door and sell it to your neighbor and say, okay, just keep your mouth shut and I'll sell it to you cheap. That's fine, unless he gets in a bind and gets into tax problems and has to sell it, or somebody steals it and there's no link between you and him, then it's a felony. So, no, they won't be able to catch all of them, but nevertheless, it's still a law that is passed that is a draconian gun control measure that should have never seen the light of day. And I think the reason it did is because a lot of people didn't understand what exactly was going on with this initiative. So I've got some good friends up there that are putting on a rally, and that is Gavin Syme and Anthony Bosworth and some other friends that I have known and heard of and were anxious to meet if I can possibly get up there. And they're putting on this rally, and this the theme of this rally is I will not comply. Okay. It seems that there's a little gun rights group there locally that wants to get in on this, get in on the publicity of this. And apparently, from what I can gather from everything that I've heard, they have gone down and applied for a permit for the rally. Okay, now, straighten me up here. The theme is I will not comply. Let's go get a permit to have our I will not comply rally. You know, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I'm going to have to sort that out. Somehow that's just not making any sense to me. So anyway, there's been a lot of arguing and fussing going on about this. So I said, well, look, it's a simple fix. We're going to have the rally. I say we because I'm going to be involved whether I make it up there or not. The rally is going to happen. And if someone wants to get a permit for it to comply with stupid regulations and stuff, that's okay. They're free to do that. But the 5,900 of us that have made the commitment to go up there are not going to comply with rules and regulations. That's the whole issue, is I will not comply. So the guy that got the permit, if he does in fact go through with it, if he gets the permit, then any infractions, any violations of policy and whatnot that is on the permit are going to be his responsibility, and we don't care because we didn't get the permit. We had no intention of getting a permit to start with. Why? Because we will not comply. And if this all works out the way that I'm hoping it will, I have every intention. We just got a couple of Facebook posts here, hoping that I'll make it up there. I have every intention of trying to make it up there. Now, I'll tell you, I hate to do this. I'm going to have to swallow my pride to do it. I did it last night. I am going to accept donations to help make this up there if anyone is so inclined. And I know it's tough, and I don't expect anybody to make the tiniest little bit of a sacrifice in any fashion to do this. But if anybody wants to throw a couple of bucks into the deal, you can do it very easily by just going to our new website, theshootingbench.us. Go to the online store, the products section, and down on the bottom row there's a donation button there that you can click on. And if you feel like you'd like to help get us up there, then that would be awesome. Otherwise, we'll just continue to do the best we can and try to make it up there. But there's been this big discussion all day, and I've been involved in some of it, about the permit. We got to get a permit to go do this. Well, anyway, that's enough of that. So there's actually, that's not quite enough yet. I think that, as I've said so many times, we are our own worst enemy. How many times have you heard me say that? Like 10,000 or so? So, some of the people on here that have been arguing about this permit thing are saying, yes, we're going to, this is going to help keep it organized. What if somebody else puts in a permit for the same area at the same time? Well, my guess is if 6,000 of us show up, they're probably going to be pushed out. Or surrounded, and we'll go on with our thing, and if they can out holler us, well, that's be okay too. But that probably wouldn't have been an issue if this big big discussion hadn't come up over whether or not they need to get a permit for this. If everybody would have just shut up about it and just done it, well, it probably would have been fine. Now somebody's going to go apply for a permit just to be spiteful and try to get it in the same area. But actually very few people supported this guy that was wanting to get a permit. And they are the ones, and we are our own worst enemy, those are the type of people that they're part of the problem. They're why we are where we're at today. And that is because we don't want to step on any toes. We don't want to wrinkle any things there where anybody gets in trouble and no violation. Now I understand I kind of got the impression that the guy that's getting the permit was a business owner there, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I kind of got that impression, and I understand how, as a small business owner, if that's the case, I understand how you would probably want to try to comply and stay within. But do you guys know of any other small business owner that really doesn't matter to? Well, I can think of one of them right now, and I can crap in his britches as we speak. If I was worried about that, I would not have made the infamous sign that went up in November of 2012. I would not have gone to Bundy Ranch. I would not speak at so many of these rallies and stuff. But as I said in a deal that I wrote recently, actually I wrote a little bit of it 2 years ago, and I added quite a bit to it today. A thing that I posted on Facebook about Veterans Day, and just quickly, my stepdad, who died on Father's Day of 2009, was the most amazingly patriotic World War II veteran or patriotic individual that I have ever known. And he became my stepdad when I was somewhere in the vicinity of 16 years old. Now, I've told you the stories about the movies that I watched and stuff when I was younger and how they made me cry when I was, 8, 12 years old, whatever it was. So I've been patriotic all my life. But my stepdad has helped to instill that patriotism in me and confirm that it is the absolute most correct thing that I have ever done or ever will do, is to maintain that exceeding degree of patriotism. And I still, I feel that little bit of tightening up in my throat when I watch the placing of the wreath ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery, I bet I played that version of the Star Spangled Banner by those little girls. I bet I played that 25, 30, 40, 50 times before it didn't bring tears to my eyes. Those little girls can sing that song. in the manner in which it was designed to be sung. And it just, every time I heard it, it just killed me. And I have finally gotten to where I can listen to the song without it eating me up now. But that is just a small demonstration of what the, or illustration maybe, of the patriotism that I have. So with all that being said, I think we better move on into the, matter of fact, let's, since we, the whole idea of this thing is, that's going on up in Washington is I will not comply. Well, I'm assuming that we're going to tick a few people off by having 6,000 people there that are not going to comply. So to those people that we may tick off, this next soundbite is for you. My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction
of an unconstitutional law. Instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Remember, I told you a while ago for the 119,000th time that we are our own worst enemy. Well, while that was playing, I looked. There's a lot of activity going on Facebook on my deal right now. This guy said, I don't know where he's from. Let me see. Oh, he's from California. That might say a lot for it. He said, I would seriously like to know why not a single gun control group or politician came out against Prop 47, which changed stealing a firearm from a felony offense to a misdemeanor requiring only a citation. Given that most crimes committed with firearms are with stolen firearms, now where do you get your statistics for that? Do we know that most crimes, or is it some crimes? Anyway, given that most crimes committed with firearms are with stolen firearms, why isn't stealing a gun a felony? Why should the charge be dropped to something like getting a parking ticket? This is something that gun rights advocates clearly pointed out, and many openly opposed Prop 47. Why the silence from the common sense, reasonable restrictions people? Well, I can see... I understand what he's saying, kind of. Why not a single gun control group or politician came out against this? And then he's going on acting like he laments that this didn't take place. Well, stealing a firearm should be a misdemeanor. It's like stealing a bicycle. Until or unless if somebody does something with that stolen firearm, something illegal, hurts somebody, robs a bank, whatever the case may be, then we'll worry about that charge when and if it happens. But stealing a gun in and of itself. Now, I would say also that if it was an antique collector's thing worth $30,000, then certainly it should be be grand larceny instead of a misdemeanor. But that's because of the dollar amount, not because it's a gun. So... that's right, Mountain Shooter. There is no doubt in my mind. My founding fathers would be shooting by now. Yep. So does that make sense to you guys? That just because someone steals a gun, then that doesn't necessarily make him or shouldn't make him a felon unless he commits a felony with it. If he steals a $250 Taurus pistol revolver, to go down and sell and make money. How would that be any different than stealing somebody's bench grinder or a lawnmower and taking it down and hawking it? What would be the difference? So I am glad that they didn't push this. And at the next break or after the show's over, I'm going to go in there and mention that to this guy and see where it goes. I'm guessing that my comments will not be particularly welcome. But let's see. There's about 20 comments there so far, and I haven't gone on and looked at them yet, so we'll see what happens. Let's go on here in Texas. This kind of proves that, well, it doesn't prove anything. It demonstrates that this one particular gun shop owner had his ducks in a row here. I know that there are some that don't. I know there are some down on the border that participated in getting some guns, contributed to getting guns into the cartel's hands, and they have since been arrested and all of that. But this guy saw that something was not right here. Guy came into a little store called Central Texas Gun Works, and he started acting a little weird, and the owner was owner of the gun shop was alerted to this by a signal from one of the employees, from the clerk there. And the man wanted to purchase a SIG handgun along with about 1,500 rounds of ammo. But, okay, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But some of the things that he said along with this, he said, "I know I look terrible. I just had the worst night of my life. Out of the hospital and all this terrible stuff happened. Awful. I don't ever want to think about what happened again last night. I'm not walking in this effing town another minute without a gun on me." And before he fills out the paperwork, he tells the clerk there, "You know what? I want a gun. I want this SIG. I want to make sure you guys have the ammunition for it, and I'm going to go over to that hospital, and I'm going to shoot everyone in that hospital. I'm going to be back here in about an hour, and I need 500 rounds of ball, 500 rounds of wad cutter, and 500 rounds of the ones that explode. I'm going to need some training rounds. You can shoot people with those, and they're fine." Well, it didn't take too long there before the gun shop owner figured out that the guy at least voiced his intentions, whether that was his actual intentions or not. So luckily, he had a silent alarm, and he kept talking to the man there until the cops arrived. And when the cops got there, he said he got there pretty shortly, and detained the man. Come to find out, he was a psych patient at a nearby mental hospital, and he's released because of a lack of beds in the facility. So what do you reckon might have happened if he would have said, "Well, not my problem. If he passes a background check, it's out of my hands"? Well, I'll tell you two things wrong with that. One, if the gun shop owner had any remote semblance, a tiny little fraction of a conscience at all, and find out that that guy really did go down there and do that, then I'm sure that wouldn't make him feel too good. Second thing is, with the way things are going, there's a good possibility that something like that could be a setup. Could be that they're saying, "Okay, you had obvious signs, there are obvious signals that this guy wasn't right, and you sold him the gun anyway, and done the same thing to him, to that gun shop owner, or very similar that they did to Rick and Terry Reese down in Deming, New Mexico. That's kind of a roundabout way. That's kind of what they did to them." So, being a gun shop owner is no bed of roses. I mean, there's so many things to watch out for. You can get screwed and ruin your life there real easy. Well, in spite of, though, as the 2013, we all know how gun sales went through the damned roof. Unbelievable, the amount of guns that were sold last year. Starting towards the end of 2012, actually 2012 did real well because of the elections. But they really went nuts last year, not just because of the election, you know, that's part of it, but because of a lot of political and legislative things that were happening, that started happening during 2013. On January 6th of this year, they had a report out that said that 21,093,273 background checks for firearm purchasers conducted in America in 2013. And while this number does represent a record, they also explained that the number of guns sold could be many times higher. Now, the record, if that would have been a single gun each time, it still would be a record. But, you know, there's people that buy, I've gone in and put two and three guns on a 44-73 before I got my FFL. I know people that have got you know, five or six. I knew one guy in right after the 2008 election. Guy come in one night and spent $20,000. And out of that 20, he's trying to get prepared. He had the money to do it. He was a State Farm insurance agent, and he definitely had the cash. Spent $20,000, and out of that, there was probably I'd say he bought six, maybe eight guns out of it. So when you look at 21 million 44-73s here, 21 million background checks, you know, that very easily could go up to, you know, over 30, maybe even 40 million guns in 1 year. Now, there's 100 million gun owners in the country, and in 1 year, we have conceivably 30 to 40 million more guns. There's already figured there was over 300 million in the country. So, but anyway, in spite of all of this, let's see, it says, for instance, if everyone who went through the background check then purchased three guns, the number of guns sold in the retail market alone would have been 63,279,819. That's not counting the numbers sold privately. So, what happened when all these guns came into private hands? Violence in the streets, blood running down the streets, rapes, home invasions, robberies, right? No. Violent crime and property crime fell. According to a report released by the FBI in November, November 10th, actually, yesterday, violent crimes in 2013 decreased 4.4% when compared with 2012 figures, and the estimated number of property crimes decreased 4.1%. These record gun sales and subsequent reduction in crime square perfectly with a Congressional Research Service report. That study showed that the number of privately owned firearms in America increased from 192 million in 1994 to 310 million in 2009. At the same time, firearm-related murder and non-negligent homicide fell from 6.6 per 100,000 in 1993 to 3.6 per 100,000 in 2000. Almost halved in 7 years. Bottom line, just like the guy that who wrote that book? John Lott. More guns, less crime. That's just how it works. All right. There's, I heard about this. I had a guy call me the other night, or the other afternoon, and told me that he had, from a reliable source. Now, you know, everybody that tells me everything says they have a reliable source. But I know this guy, And I know him pretty well. We've talked at length about the way things are going and all this kind of stuff. And when he tells me that he has somebody that he trusts and all that, then I believe him. But nevertheless, I was a little bit skeptical about this. So I waited to share it until I got a little bit of confirmation here. Well, it apparently has been confirmed. It looks like that they are disarming border agents. If there were any federal agents in this country that need to be armed, it is Border Patrol. But according to this TV station here, a couple of them actually, that under the guise of inspecting the quality of agents' carbines, M4 carbines, throughout Border Patrol sectors nationwide, they are confiscating agents' weapons. And agents report that most of those weapons have not been replaced. Moreover, a military arms expert TV station consulted that he does not believe the story the Obama administration is giving to agents. Jeff, oh wow. I know this guy. I got to talk to Jason about that. Jeff Prather, former drug enforcement agent who now runs the Warrior School in Tucson, says agents have reached out to him about the rifle shortage. He believes that removing some of the rifles may be politically motivated. He says he was told that many of the guns are being removed for issues that are easily repaired, like the firing pin and bolt. This weapon is designed to be able to be in a battle situation, changed out rather quickly, even so fast that modern weapons have areas to hold spare bolts. That makes him suspicious that the agency could be disarming its agents. So there's more to the story than this. But I think that that is, you know, what are these guys supposed to do? They are up against the, not certainly maybe not the best trained, but damn sure some of the best armed criminals known to man, and that's the Mexican cartels. And they, according to this, apparently they're taking their guns away. So we'll see what happens. I have other connections that I can check this out with now that we've gone this far, and I'm going to see if I can get some more information on this before. Before the end of the week, hopefully, and see what's going on. And let's see. Well, I won't play this again for you. You guys heard the deal with Taylor Swift and or not Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley about the little joke about the Democrats and the thing on the Country Music Awards. That was awesome. That was a lot. Those people went absolutely nuts over this. They were talking about maybe that's how come the Democrats lost the Senate, and the crowd went berserk over this. And I think that lends a quite a bit of credence to the assumption here, which I don't think it's an assumption, talking about country folks and country music folks or anything. They are vastly overwhelmingly conservative, and it's funny that just a change in music makes a change in political leanings there. And not to say that all country music stars and fans are conservative, because they're certainly not. There are a few, but very few. But I was surprised the other day that I read a story that Brad Pitt had owned guns all his life, and he was very pro-gun. They could knock me over with a feather. I couldn't believe that. That was quite a deal there. So, anyway, there's stand by here just a second. I got way too many things opened up here and too much stuff in the way. Let me tell you again a couple of things that's going on. The deal up in Washington, I have had two or three, four listeners contact me now, and hoping to that we can be able to meet up while we're up there. And that makes here I just got one right now telling me where where the guy's house is, and all that. So, and he is listening at the present time. He's just not on the chat room. You've seen him in the chat room a few times, but he's mostly a listener. And I tell you what, he's very, very, very faithful listener. He's nearly every night he has a comment, you know, on Facebook or something about that. And I tell you, that makes that kind of stuff makes it all worthwhile when I get responses from you guys. You know, sometimes when you're not on the chat or whatever, it really makes a difference to me when I hear from you like that. And I know that everybody on the chat room we hear from, and I deeply appreciate that. It helps. It really does help keep me going. And anyway, we got this thing going on in Washington. Going to meet several people up there. Some of them I already know. And if I can swing it to get up there. And then we have this deal going on the Hopi Reservation right here in Arizona. Now, this is a problem because we don't know if we're going to be or if they're going to accept any assistance. We're talking about crossing into two sovereign nations to get in there to find out if they even want our help. And there may be issues with, you know, as I've told you before, legally, by federal law, they cannot impose tribal authority on a non-Indian. Legally, by all that is right, you should be able to cross the reservation without any problem carrying a gun. Now, I know that the Navajos have always been pretty easygoing, never had a problem with them, but will this be different? The Navajos and Hopis have not necessarily always been the best of friends, but will they come together while the federal government is confiscating their sheep and trying to starve the Hopis off their land? The Navajos should be smart enough to realize that if they're going to do it to the Hopis and get away with it, there's not a damn thing in the world, no reason at all, to expect that they wouldn't and couldn't do the same thing on the Navajo reservation. If there are some places out there where they want to take the land to add it some, whether it's Agenda 21 or a big land grab by the feds, which is starting to be, I'm getting some information from some of my contacts in Nevada that they're, and I already told you that they're going after the Bundys in such a way that it's going to be much more difficult this time to back them down and stop them. They seem like they're trying awfully hard. It seems like they're really trying to push us into something that every last one of us is going to regret, including them, and certainly us. Anyone that has a family, anyone that has a life at all, should not be looking forward to this. But I can say that I look forward to it being all over. I look forward to the Constitution being restored, our rights and freedom being restored without all these stupid restrictions that don't mean anything to anybody, all these revenue generating restrictions and all of that. But NORPRE, yes, I have every intention with everything that I can muster up, I have every intention to try to make it up there. And so, anyway, the had one more deal here. Let me see if I can catch that. There's nothing saying I have to be done right at the top of the hour. It says nobody follows me. So hang on just a second, and we'll go do that. I did find out today that I am still on the active instructor list for the state of New Mexico for their concealed carry deal. So, and that's good because I have a group of people from New Mexico that want me to do their concealed carry class. So I will get a hold of them tomorrow if any of you in New Mexico want to schedule a class, then it looks like I'll be back in business with that. I hadn't even checked with them or done anything for a long time because I haven't been in New Mexico and I've been doing plenty of classes here. But if that's the case, there's people in New Mexico that want to do it, well, I will make sure that I can make that happen tomorrow, see what all, if there's any refresher or anything that I need to do to get back into doing the classes. So if not, well, you know, we'll be there with bells on. We've got, you know, besides for the people that are on the verge of rising up here, there's a, this story just came out yesterday, huge gathering in Washington, not just from the people going to the I-594 rally, but apparently there's at least 200 sheriffs and deputies here that are gathering. Oh, this is probably D.C., though. Yeah, it is D.C., I'm sorry. This is Washington, D.C. But anyway, there's at least 200 sheriffs right now planning this gathering to oppose the executive amnesty that Obama has planned. Sheriffs from all over the country furious about this kind of stuff. And they're planning a quote-unquote massive gathering in Washington, D.C. to speak about this. So what we're seeing here, ladles and jelly spoons, is civil disobedience at its finest. We're going to have 6,000 people minimum from those, at least if of those that have confirmed and say they're going to be there. We've got 6,000 people that are going to be in Washington State.
We've got 6,000 people that are going to be in Washington State.
Yeah, I know I said that already. Okay. And we've got all these sheriffs going to Washington, D.C. And if we can just get... It's almost kind of a... I'm not going to say reminiscent, but... It kind of smells like the thing that I've talked about several times, where I would love to see 100 million gun owners march on their individual town, their individual city halls, their state capitals, and Washington D.C. armed. I'm not saying they need to go shoot anybody. I'm just saying that they, look at Phoenix. There's 4,000 people, 4 million people in the Phoenix area, in Maricopa County. I don't have any idea how many of those people are gun owners. But out of 4 million, and being Arizona, I would assume that at least half of them would be gun owners. If 2 million people, even if half of that 2 million people, if a million people decided to march on the Capitol building, I'm guessing that it would get somebody's attention. 2 million, I mean, or a million armed patriots in the state of Arizona marched if this was simultaneously, if they were marching on city halls around the state, I can't help but think that we would get their undivided attention. Please come in, sit down, let's talk about this. Instead of get off, arrest those people, put them in jail. We won't have this kind of civil disobedience. Oh, yeah? Well, if there's a million of us, what exactly are you going to do? Yeah, please. Please, sit down. Can I get you a cup of coffee? Let's talk about what's been going on here. What are your concerns? Why, yes, we were just thinking about changing that law. Funny you should come in here today. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, and let me see. Now, I was looking up through New Mexico stuff here. No, it's 10 o'clock. I'm going over time a little bit. But I'm looking here. I'm still listed as number 20 in the state as an instructor. I was looking at the counties here, and let's just look at the state. There's 1.5 million people in the state of New Mexico. Let's see. I wonder if that means that there are 1.5 million people that are over 20. 27,811 male, 9,768 female. Oh, these are people that have permits. I'm sorry. So there's that many. There's 1.5 million people over 20 in the state. 27,000, almost 28,000 males, almost 10,000 females. Altogether, 37,979 permits. That is 2.48% of the state population. 37, almost 36,000 active license holders in a state of 1.5 million people over 20. 2.5%. If we break that down by county, we can go to Cibola County, which is where Grant's is, where I was at, where my kids' mother is and everything. 1.37%. Wow. The largest county, let's see, Dabaca County has 6.12%. The highest percentage of concealed carry holders in the county in New Mexico is in Harding County, 7.92%. Just one little problem with there's 581 people in the county over 20 years old, 35 males, 11 females, 46 licenses altogether. That's almost 8% of what I was wrong. I was way wrong here. I missed one. I'm sorry. I missed one. Sandoval County has the highest percentage with 13.57% out of 21,694 people. 2,944 permits out of that. So that's pretty good. That's a it's still what I would consider. If you look at the, you know, Sandoval County has quite a few liberals in it. If you look at the number of gun owners there and then the number of gun owners that have decided to get a permit, that's not bad. Out of 21,000, we got 2,900 of them that decided to get a permit. That's pretty cotton picking good. But that's only one county. We have another one here, San Miguel County. Four times as many people. 88,612 out of 88,000. Now remember, Sandoval County, just under 22,000, 2,944 permits. San Miguel County, 88,612 people, 350 permits. 0.39% of the population, over 20. Hard to believe that people have a right that is so, I should say a privilege, I guess, as far as getting a permit goes, but so easy to get, so inexpensive in New Mexico, not difficult to get, and people choose not to do that. Well, like they say, there's a lot of people that say that their, you know, the Second Amendment is their permit and all that. You know how I feel about that. And so we'll go over that again one of these days. Well, it is that time, and I'm going to get out of here and go be with my bride. So I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, and I'll let you know right away if anything serious comes up, and I would appreciate it if you guys would do the same for me. Good night. Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. That's free.